You've downloaded a sermon from the King's Church based in the city of Portsmouth in the United Kingdom. This sermon was recorded in our morning service and the speaker is Martin Mant.
Right, now I'm going to need... I've been watching and learning from Colin Benton and I was quite inspired by his cards the other day. So I want to do a card trick for you. So I'm going to... Yeah, I've got big cards as well. Look, cha-ching. I need 5 volunteers to come and help me. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right, if you come and stand up here, and I need a contestant, and we'll have... do you really want to do it? Do you? Come on then. Okay. Now. Come on, up, 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 up. Now then, what I'm going to do is, and don't assume you know what's going to happen, I would like you to pick one card from there and show the audience, all right? But don't show me. Okay, that's good. Right, and just bung it back anywhere in there you want to. Okay, now then, what you need to do is you need to look at these three here. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to deal out the cards, no, these three to start with. And I want you to tell me after I've dealt them all right? It is quite important that you know what card you're looking for. You know, but... All right, then. Okay. But then it loses its impact, though, if... Right, now, you lot will need to tell me, all right, which person holds the card when I've finished dealing them out. Okay. Actually watched an episode of Play Your Cards Right, and the couple won the car and £4,000. They were excited, but there's nothing like that on offer today. Right. Okay. Oh, 1, 2, 3. Okay, which pile is it in? It's in Maddie. Are you sure it's in Maddie's? Are you sure? Let go. Okay, now I'm going to do it again. Okay, don't worry. It gets a bit quicker than this in a minute. Now, when you said you wanted to help me, you're supposed to be helpful, you know. Okay, now today we're going to be looking at various things, and it's all to do, today's theme is all to do with seeing is believing, okay? Don't worry, girls, you will have something to do in a minute. These are brand new cards, and I was really glad that I opened them today because there were 2 Queen of Hearts in there. I don't know quite what that means. So you need us are going to get a visit. Okay, which pile? You sure? Yeah. It shouldn't happen like this. Maddie shouldn't have it twice in a row. And because, see, I'm going to be like the government now. I'm going to do it until you get it right. Okay. Political. Okay, this is the last time. Oh, aren't my assistants lovely? All right. So do you know which is your card yet? So it's going to be as big a surprise to you as it is to me then. Oh, okay. Right, which one? Are you sure you're not cheating, Madeline? Okay, now then, this is where all 5 of them come in. Now... What you need to do, Mr. Harvey, is to tell me, to say stop at any time, right, hold it, that you want out of these cards. No, it's... Okay. It's all right, we'll put that one down there. Okay, now then, what I need you to do is to pick 3 lovely ladies, please.
Let's go for the first 3.
Are you sure?
No, because they haven't been involved.
Who? Which 1 and 2?
Yeah.
And who's the 3rd one?
Maddie.
Oh, okay then. So, sorry, Maddie. Sorry, Abby. It was fleeting, but it was nice. And sorry, Grace. Off you go then. You 3 can go. You've made them lose sweets now. Okay, now think about this carefully. Which one of these lovely ladies do you want? No, come on, just pick. Don't play your part too much. You want Evie? Okay. Off you go. Right. I have a feeling I might have done this wrong. Yeah, give them a round of applause. Do you know what's really annoying is I can't count. But never mind. Okay. Well, thank you. It was the four of clubs anyway. So give me a round of applause for the fact that I knew what card it was. Okay. So you were awake then? Okay. Now. There you go. Okay, now I need four intelligent young people who have not been involved so far. Sorry, so we have, yeah, one, two, three, four, Alison. And can you go and pick four adults for me, please? Now, this is a very simple true or false quiz that we have. And you can stand down at the front for this one. There's two pieces of paper there, one with true, one with false on. Alison's got her mum, that's good. Where are my other two? Where's my fourth one? Oh, right from the back. There you go. And if you give those to Louise. Now, can you give those to Louise when she gets here? Right, now then, the people from the audience can help you with this, and there are bags of sweets up for grabs, all right? These are inventions, all right? And you need to decide whether what I'm about to describe to you is true or false, okay? This is a wake and bacon alarm, an alarm clock that wakes you up with the smell and sizzle of cooking bacon. The clock gently wakes you up with the mouth-watering aroma of the real strip of bacon, just like waking up on a Sunday morning to the smell of mum cooking breakfast. Is that true or false? Need to make a decision. And turn your answers round to show the audience, please. It is actually true. Okay. The self-twirling spaghetti fork. Rejoice, spaghetti lovers. Your pasta prayers have been answered. This self-twirling motor-powered fork will grab your long spaghetti and noodles for you. No more twiddling and twirling over and over with your own hands. Okay, have we got decisions, please? It is actually true. Okay, the dress me wardrobe. The dress me wardrobe. In the morning, you open up the door, you go in and say, dress me in my school uniform, dress me in my princess outfit, or whatever. Dress me in my suit. Is that true or false? It is actually true, I'm sorry. Okay, and the last one. Wedge-proof underwear. Wedgie-proof underwear. This wedgie-proof underwear was designed by 2 8-year-old twin boys. Not only will this put an end to those wedgies, but it's a great way to outsmart the school bully. Is that true or false? It is actually true. So, who won? Are we bothered? No, we're not. So I do have here some bags of sweets, there's one each.
There's actually 12 sweets in each bag.
Cassidy. Shannon counted them earlier, so she knows there's 12 sweets in each one. Okay, give them a round of applause. Okay, that's brilliant. There's also one other invention, and I didn't believe it until I actually bought some and tried it, and that is fizzy milk. Did you know they've invented fizzy milk in an attempt to get children to drink milk? They stuck fizz in it. It tastes vile. So if you see it, don't bother, because they won't drink it. As I said earlier, today's theme is all about seeing is believing. And I'm not sure whether it's Ruth or Amy is going to come and read from the Bible for us. No, yeah. One now. The one about Thomas now. Yes. That's right. Ruth's coming now, and Amy will be coming in a while to read another piece of the Bible. I wonder if you've heard the expression, doubting Thomas. Has anybody heard that expression? Could you put your hand up, please? Yeah. Doubting Thomas, it probably conjures up all kinds of things. Oh, yeah. Doubting Thomas means he doesn't believe anything. Well, the origin of that expression is from the Bible. And Ruth is just going to read that to us. Thank you, Ruth.
Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, but which are not recorded in this book.
Brilliant. Thank you, Ruth. That's excellent. Give her a round of applause. That's superb. So the origin of the expression doubting Thomas actually comes from the Bible, because Thomas was one of the 12 disciples, and the other disciples were there when Jesus first showed himself to them. And Thomas did probably what all of us would do and said, "Well, I'm not going to believe it till I see it." Now, the amazing thing about television is, and on films with all the special effects and everything, you can actually think you're seeing something when you're not. But the great thing about the Bible is it was written before things like special effects. So actually, we know that what is written down is true because people who were there actually wrote it down so that we would know what had happened. Now, I am going to eat a raw egg this morning. Now, I have a glamorous assistant. Would you like to come up, Claire? She was worried that she might have to say something. But all she has to do is to crack an egg into the cup and add some milk. There's milk in there. It's not fruit shoot, honestly. No, it's proper normal milk. Now, you might think, well, what has got eating an egg got to do with anything? Well, basically, it hasn't. But eating raw eggs apparently is a good cure for hangovers. I can't think of anything worse than eating a raw egg when you've got a hangover. That's it. No, they're not. Oh, dear. And then whisk it up with a fork a little bit. Because otherwise the yolk tends to stick. Right, now you might think, well, I don't believe... Could you just clarify, please, Claire, that was an egg you broke into there. That is milk in there. It's a real glass and everything.
Yes.
Okay, right. Are we ready then? It's not a trick glass. Okay, could you give Claire a round of applause, please? Now, the thing is, you can go to school tomorrow or you can go home after the service and you can say, "Martin ate a raw egg." And those people who you tell could say, "Oh, well, I don't believe it." Well, you can say, "I believe it because I saw it." Now, me eating a raw egg is probably not going to change your life unless you go home, steal an egg out of the fridge, mash it up with a bit of milk and then attempt to eat it, and then I'll sick all over the kitchen floor. Mom or dad or whoever looks after you might not be too pleased about that. So don't do it. Don't go home and do it yourself. The illustration is that you have seen it, so you believe it. Other people you might tell will say, "I don't believe it." But you can say, "I believe it because I have seen it." Okay, so that is the first point this morning. But you know, people who hear about the Bible, people who hear about Jesus, fall into one of three categories. One is they believe it and it changes their life. Two is they believe it and don't do anything about it. And three is they don't believe it. And I think, particularly the children in Sunday school and the children who come to church and the adults, you are amazing because you believe what the Bible says. You believe it even though you haven't seen. And that is really amazing. Now, Ruth read that passage and she said, or that Jesus said at the end, he said, blessed are those who have not seen and believe. So what does this word blessed mean? Well, I looked up on the internet because it's a good thing. Although it's a good thing to waste time on too. Blessed means highly favoured or fortunate. It means worthy of worship. It means enjoying the bliss of heaven and is characterised by happiness and good fortune. So the Bible says we're blessed because we haven't seen Jesus. And blessed means that we've got God's goodness and we enjoy good things because we believe even though we haven't seen. Now, Amy is going to come and read the second part of our readings today. And this one talks a little bit about something slightly different. Do you want to do it down there?
Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it."
Okay. Give her a round of applause. That's brilliant. Thank you. So we got Jesus himself saying, if you've seen me, you've seen God. So Jesus came back to life again, and we know because it was written down in the Bible. Now Jesus is saying that if you've seen me, you've seen God. And also he says two very important things. And these are the things that I want you to hold on to this morning. Because the great thing when you're at school is you believe that God can do amazing things. It's when you get older that you begin to doubt a little bit and become a bit like Thomas. But Jesus said, you will do the same as what I do. Now, Jesus, we know, healed people, raised people from the dead, and performed miracles. So he said, you'll do what I do. And then the other thing he said is, you will do greater things than these. My goodness, what a challenge for us. What a challenge for you, boys and girls. What a challenge for you, grown-ups, that we can do greater things than Jesus and the disciples did because we believe in somebody we haven't yet seen. Now, I've got, there's a little video clip that you're going to watch, and you'll know why I've recorded it rather than said it live.
Trip inside your head, spend the day there to hear the things you haven't said and see what you might see.
Hi, for those of you who don't know, Louise and I have a 6-year-old disabled daughter. Her name is Olivia. When she was first born, we weren't really aware of any difficulties that she would have apart from hearing problems, which they diagnosed at 1 day old. As she passed certain timescales, it became clear that she wasn't developing quite the way that she should. She slipped off of the bottom centile of her growth chart for her weight and for her height, and it became clear that her right side was a bit inhibited and she wasn't able to use it the same as the rest of her body. So for us, it's been a time of searching our hearts and searching our faith, and believing ultimately that God was going to heal Olivia. It hasn't been instantaneous, but there have been milestones that she has achieved in her own time and in her own way. Two of those happened recently. One was her crawling upstairs using both her arms and both of her legs. We didn't even know that she was upstairs until we heard some noise of her being on our bed and in our bedroom. We went up and discovered that she got up there all on her own. The second one, and we see the results of it in mess on her clothes and on her face, is picking up her spoon and eating her food by herself. Huge milestones for Olivia, but perhaps small in some people's eyes. But for us, it's confirmation that God is healing her. We love her and accept her just as she is, but we also know that God is doing an amazing work in her and through her. So, yeah. So we have evidence, seeing is believing, that God is healing Olivia because she is doing things that she couldn't do before. And that's really amazing. So we've got, so far we've got three things. We've got about, we're more blessed because we believe in Jesus and we haven't seen him. That we are going to do greater things than Jesus did. And the last thing, really, and we've been singing about it already this morning, is about us being in the right place. Do you know, it's all very well believing in Jesus. It's all very well worshipping God. It's all very well coming to church on Sunday, going to Sunday school, going to King's Kids, going to cell group, doing all of those things. But, you know, if we're not in the right place, then God's not going to be able to use us. And it's being in the right place at the right time to do the things that God wants us to do. And, you know, we can talk the talk, but unless we're actually living out the faith in our lives, then we're wasting our time. And, you know, it doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are. At school, it's just as important to tell people about Jesus, but not just to tell them, to live it, to be it in the playground. When you're playing games with other children, to play fairly, to be nice to people, to be respectful to your teachers, to your parents, to your carers, to people that you meet, to your work colleagues, to your children, to your members of your family. It's important to live the life and to live your words. And that's really what it's all about. Seeing and believe it. Seeing is believing, but we're blessed because we haven't seen. We have evidence of Jesus living in our lives. We've got evidence of answered prayer. We've got evidence of the Holy Spirit moving in our church and in our lives. But we need to actually be in the right position. We need to be the men and women, the boys and girls who God wants us to be. And only you are able to do that. Only you know deep in your heart if you're right with God.